بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وآتوهن أجورهن بالمعروف محصنات غير مسافحات ولا متخذات أخدان، فإذا أحصن فإن أتين بفاحشة فعليهن نصف ما على المحصنات من العذاب، ذلك لمن خشي العنة منكم، وأن تصبروا خير لكم والله غفور رحيم. In the previous ayat yesterday, we discussed that if a person is financially not in a position to marry a free woman, then it is permissible for him to marry a slave woman. Her mehr will be less also, and to look after her expenses will also be less. However, it was mentioned in that ayat also that when you marry the slave woman, then there is one condition also attached to it, and that is غير مسافحات ولا متخذات أخدان. That they must be محصنات, which comes from the word حسن, a fort. That is, they are fortified. They don't make zina. Those slave women must not commit adultery with other people. غير مسافحات, and your marriage with them also must not just to satisfy your lust. And another condition, وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانِ, and they must not have any love affair with anyone. That these are two separate things. One is that like the slave woman that is married and she commits adultery, zina, which is also quite common for women of that nature, like they're so to say, the low class woman, they get easily involved in all these things. So that is a condition. She must not be a woman of that type. And others might not have commit adultery, but they have a love relationship, a friendship, like boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. That also is not permitted. Yet the Quran has referred to the two separately, though they are very closely related. The reason for this is that the pagans, the Arabs, before the coming of Islam, should regard that as haram, that if the slave woman commits adultery and sleeps with other men. But if she keeps a love relationship, like a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with anyone, that they should not regard as haram. So the Quran explicitly differentiated between the two and declared that both are totally haram. And then Allah Ta'ala further says, فَإِذَا أُحْسِنَّ فِرْ جَبْ وَقَيْنِ نِكَامِ آچُكِ, when they are married now and they are in the fort of marriage, that is, now they are protected, their needs are being satisfied by the husband and also their lust is satisfied by the husband as well. So they are in the fort of marriage. But in spite of that, فَإِنْ أَتَيْنَ بِفَاحِشَةِ, تو اگر کرے بے حیائی کا کام, and then she commits adultery, that slave woman, فَعَلِهِنَّ نِسْوَ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, تو ان پر آدھی سزا ہے بیویوں کی سزا سے. Then the punishment for that will be half of that of free woman. That is, for free woman, if a woman is not married and she commits adultery, then she will get 100 lashes. And a slave woman, if she is not married and she commits adultery, she will get 50 lashes. And a married woman, if she, a free married woman commits adultery, then the punishment is to be stoned to death. And a slave woman, they can't be half of that, so it is still 50 lashes. For a slave woman who is married, she will get 50 lashes. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَانَةَ مِنْكُمْ, یہ اس کے واسطے جو کوئی تم میں درے تکلیف میں پڑنے سے. And this permission, this latitude and leeway to marry slave woman is for that person who has a fear of falling into difficulty. That is the difficulty of adultery. A man feels that if I don't get married, I will commit adultery, I will commit zina. So for him is this permission. From here, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, masala is that under all circumstances it is permissible to marry slave woman. And Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, say it is only permissible when there is a strong fear that the man will fall in adultery, only then is it permissible. Otherwise, it is not permissible. And this whole difference between the imams of fiqh rises from the fact that if you marry a slave woman, so she is the slave woman of somebody else. She is working for somebody else. She is not with you all the time. She has to work for her master also. So that is a great disadvantage. Also, she cannot be with you all the time as you would like to, because she's somebody else's slave woman. Though, of course, any type of sexual relationship between her master and her when she is married to somebody else is totally not permissible. But she will have to be there in the service of her master. So you cannot get the full benefit as you get of a wife. And the other is the children that will be born from the slave woman. They will be regarded as the slaves of the master. The woman whose slave she is, her master, these her children will also be regarded as the slaves of that master. So that is also a stigma that your children are slaves. They are not free people. If you marry a free woman, then your children are free, they are not slaves. So for that stigma's sake also, it is not desired. It is just a leeway when necessary. And therefore, the difference comes between the imams with regard to this masala. One tasbiru khayrul lakum, or sabar karo to behtar hai. And if you make sabr and you don't marry the slave woman, that is more better for you. The preference is that you don't marry slave woman. But if you feel you're going to fall into zina and you can't afford the mehr of a free woman, you can't afford to maintain a free woman, then it is permissible to marry the slave woman. And all this, as we mentioned, was that time when there were slave women. Now there are no more slave women, so these rules don't apply presently. A question might come also that when these rules don't apply, then these ayats seem to be superfluous in the Quran. It doesn't apply to our lives anymore. But there is a very discreet indication in this that the time will come again when there will be slave women again. When Imam Mahdi will come and he will make proper Islamic jihad, then again at that time there will be slave women. Then all these rules will apply at that time. Therefore, it is not redundant, it is not superfluous, but it is there for a reason, and that will come when there will be again jihad taking place in the world. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. Aur Allah bakhshne wala meherban hai. And Allah Ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. Sincerely you try and fulfill His commandment, Allah is ni'mal qadirin, He appreciates it very much. But as a human being, you are limited in every way. You are not perfect in any way. You will make mistakes. And so Allah Ta'ala has declared before time, you try your best and you will be rewarded for all your efforts. And where you err and make mistakes, remember, I'm not only the most forgiving, but after that I shower you with my mercies as well. So a person must always keep his contact with Allah, even if the weakness comes in his amal, in his action. He must make tawbah, istighfar, but never leave the rope of Allah. Always be connected with Allah Ta'ala. We can fail and fall as many times as it happens, but never lose hope. Allah is always there, and He is most forgiving, most merciful for all His servants. For those who are righteous and pious, they also make errors. And those who are openly violate the laws of Allah, for all, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. It is just necessary for us that we turn in repentance and tawbah and ask Him for His mercy and forgiveness. He is ever ready to forgive us. May Allah guide us towards Allah, correct our lives and connect ourselves with Allah, and get that great enjoyment of being connected with Allah and enjoy the favors of Allah for those who are connected with Allah.